And welcome back to the Sean Green Show. I'm Sean Green. I want to thank everybody out there listening. Make sure you go to SeanGreenShow.com. That's SeanGreenShow.com. All the latest podcasts, news, videos, and interviews are definitely up there. Make sure you follow me on Twitter. It's at Sean Green Show. And you can also follow me on Facebook or like me on Facebook. It's Sean Green Show Media. Make sure you check out the YouTube page as well. A lot more new videos and all that good stuff is coming up. What I want to bring to you to the table right now, Ray Carcillo, the review editor at Electronic Gaming Monthly, EGMnow.com. He joins us on the Super Celebrity Hotline. Hey, what's going on, buddy?
Hello, Sean. How you doing, dude?
I'm doing all right. So I got to ask you this. I didn't get a chance to ask you last week. The Fantastic Four trailer came out. A lot of mixed reviews about the Fantastic Four trailer, and one being the African-American Human Torch, which I think is a kind of, you know, Marvel's always done different stuff, so I don't have a problem with it. As long as the acting is good and the script is good, I'm cool with it. What say you?
Yeah, I don't really mind the African-American Human Torch either. I don't mind them changing little things in the story. I think I have more a problem with the rumors of what Dr. Doom is all about, that he's just some kind of crazy hacker. That's something that kind of bothers me more, but we really didn't see that from the trailer. In terms of the trailer itself, I mean, obviously it takes, I think, a lot of liberties with their origin story in general. I think they're trying to, you know, for me, the Fantastic Four has always been kind of bland, right? You know, I've read comics for a very long time, and to me, aside from a couple of storylines, the Fantastic Four has never really been something that's captivated me beyond the fact that you had a couple of great villains like Dr. Doom that would go against them. And even then, his best storylines usually came when he went against, like, the Avengers or the X-Men or more the Marvel Universe as a whole. So, I mean, the fact that they're changing some things is okay and understandable, but I think that they're going to get so far away from it that the hardcore fans are really going to kind of rebel against this. I think that from what we saw from the trailer is that it's definitely going to be very different from the previous Fantastic Four movies, and it's going to be very different from the comic books. So it'll probably appeal more to a mass audience, but I think comic book fans are going to be very, very angry as a whole for what everything, all the liberties they're taking.
Yeah, I thought the same thing, too. Also, I think with Fantastic Four, along with Spider-Man and X-Men, well, actually, Spider-Man and X-Men, I think they're going to lose their contracts with, I think it's with Sony, and I think Marvel Studios needs to have total control over their own product. And I think until Marvel Studios actually gets control of that particular product is when it'll be done right. Because as long as it's in other hands, it'll be different twists and turns that nobody is really expecting or will actually like. So I think...
I agree with that completely. I think Marvel knows their properties better than anyone, and I think that Sony, it only cares about the bottom line, or Fox, or whoever happens to own the particular properties. Sony, Fox has X-Men and whatnot, and Sony has Spider-Man. Like, you know, it's definitely something where, you know, I know right now Sony's trying to work out a deal, I think, where they're trying to share Spider-Man rights to allow Spider-Man to join the Avengers in Avengers 3.
Right.
You know, it's gotten to the point where really, I mean, Marvel made those deals back when they didn't have the backing of Disney, back when they didn't have the ability to do their own movie studios. I think that, you know, there should be some kind of a buyout. They should try to work out a buyout clause where they get the characters back, because it's the only way it's going to make people happy in the long run.
Okay, great. Now, I actually want to talk to you about Dying Light. That game looks very interesting to me. I wanted to ask you, what's the control scheme like on this game?
So the controls were kind of surprising, because they're going to take a while for you to get used to. They kind of bucked the trend. You know, everybody who's ever played video games, like, and even just over the past few years, kind of knows that the X button on a PlayStation controller, the A button on an Xbox controller, you know, that's the button to jump, right? That's always been a very basic video game trope, and instead they change the jumping button in Dying Light to a shoulder button. They change it to the right bumper or R1 button, depending on what controller you're using. It takes a long time to get used to. On top of this, the controls and the gameplay is very different as well, because it's kind of like a first-person parkour. It really felt like, especially certain areas of the world, like you're playing a first-person Assassin's Creed. So not having that familiar grip on the controller really was uncomfortable for probably the first 4 or 5 hours I played the game, until I kind of was able to untrain all these years that I've been playing games and kind of get used to what they were trying to do. So once I got used to the controls, Dying Light played surprisingly well and was actually, through the gameplay, a lot more fun than I expected.
Right. And what separates this game from other, like, zombie games like Resident Evil and Walking Dead?
Well, I mean, like, the best way to describe it is that this is kind of a more serious version of Dead Island, right? This is the guys who did Dead Island and Dead Island Riptide, it's Techland. They tried to put in a more somber tone, but still have that open world feel where you can kind of do what you want. There's an RPG system where you can level up your agility, your power, or your survival skills, and using them all in tandem really is the problem. So for at least I found the best way to kind of go about getting through the game. You know, and so it's more of an open world action RPG than it is something that you'd be more of a shooter like Resident Evil, or more of a truly story driven game like Walking Dead. And I think that's actually the sad thing, is that probably the weakest aspect of Dying Light is the story. I mean, you play this guy, Kyle Crane, who is the epitome of the most bumbling, stupid special forces agent I've ever seen in a video game. I mean, in the first opening cutscene, this guy, he botches his infiltration onto the island, he gets the guy who saves him killed, and he gets infected by the zombie virus in the first 5 minutes of the game. Like, I mean, this guy is the moron. Like, I mean, and for me, I like immersing myself, especially with the RPG elements that this game really touts. I like immersing myself in the protagonist's shoes.
Right.
You know, I want to be the hero. And I just couldn't get behind this guy. Like, I mean, it's just, again, gameplay, had a lot of fun with it. I think the first-person parkour system, especially first-person platforming, is very, very difficult to pull off in games. But I found, you know, I found that they did it. I found it worked very well. I liked the RPG element. It's a little repetitive in terms of the fetch quests and the hack and slash gameplay, but overall, the gameplay was not the problem. The story, though, oh, man. Techland's got to go back to the story, got to go back to the drawing board with this guy, because this was one of the worst stories I've had to get through in a while.
Oh, wow. That's a lot said coming from you, man. Because I never really heard you, like, really rip a game really until now. It's like breaking news right here on the Sean Green Show. You sat here and just totally ripped the game. Now, another game I want to talk to you about was Life is Strange Episode 1. Now, I'm not familiar with this at all, so break this game down to me Barney style, man.
All right, so Life is Strange, it's published by Square Enix, developed by Don't Nod. These are the guys who made Remember Me from a couple of years ago, which was a big thing, a big mechanic in that game was kind of being able to rewind time a little bit and mess with people's memories. And this kind of has that same little twist. Life is Strange, it's kind of like Gone Home in that it's a weird slice of life. You play as a teenage girl. It's about you and your best friend, and you're in high school, and you're kind of just going through the trials and tribulations of that area of Seattle where you live, from a while ago, and you're just kind of like trying to get through life, trying to get through high school, and then you find out you can reverse time, and you know it's episodic, it's a point and click adventure, basically, and you can replay decisions you make if you don't like their outcome by rewinding time. Now, nothing that, at least in this first episode, none of the decisions you make are really, like, groundbreaking or anything that's going to really influence the rest of the game forward. It really is more a chance to kind of experiment with this new power. But it's an interesting idea. I personally have trouble getting into it because, much like Gone Home, it's very hard for me to kind of relate to the characters.
Well, yeah, that's what I want to ask you about, because the main character is a female, correct?
It's not that she's a female, it's that she's a reclusive 16-year-old girl in high school, you know, and I'm not saying that there's not going to be an audience out there who could relate to the character, just me personally,
right?
Definitely not really my cup of tea, and honestly, as somebody who, you know, being a geek, high school was kind of hard, and I really don't want to relive those years of my life.
Yeah.
So, really playing a game that kind of makes me relive something that's really grounded in reality really wasn't something that I particularly enjoyed. And it's an interesting idea, much like Gone Home, a game I didn't really enjoy because I really wasn't really excited about exploring some random stranger's house. And then, you know, like, that was basically the entire gist of that game if you had a chance to play. And some people thought it was the most revolutionary, groundbreaking thing in the world, and I was like, it was probably the most boring thing in the world. But I think that for some people who maybe enjoyed that time in their lives or could possibly relate to this character, I think that you might enjoy it, but I think this is a very, very niche audience that Life is Strange is aiming for.
Oh, wow. And also, I want to ask you, what's going on with RayCarcillo.com? Anything new there?
My Dying Light review just went up. also, actually, what I've done is that there's actually two sites now. I've actually kind of, there's RayCarcilloWrites.com, which is where a lot of my writing stuff is going, and I've also, RayCarcillo.com has had a redesign recently.
Okay.
Where, for those who don't know, I also do a bit of, I have a radio background, I do a bit of voice acting. So, and you might hear me in a few projects in this future that I can't talk about right now. So RayCarcillo.com has actually been repurposed very recently. I meant to tell you about this sooner. I apologize for surprising you with this. Has been repurposed for my voice acting stuff, but if you want to see my writing stuff, obviously you can still go to EGMnow.com or you can go to RayCarcilloWrites.com.
And there you have it. Ray Carcillo, review editor, Electronic Game Monthly, EGMnow.com, RayCarcillo.com. He plays video games. He writes. He does radio. He does it all. So, look, all my radio geeks out there, make sure you check out RayCarcillo.com. It's a really cool website. I actually visited last week, and I was actually blown away by it. So, good work, man. I really enjoy your stuff. Man, if you want to follow Ray Carcillo on Twitter, you most certainly can. It's at Ray Carcillo, and also you can follow him on Facebook as well. Like I said, make sure you go to RayCarcillo.com and make sure you check out EGMnow.com too. Ray, thanks so much for joining me, man.
Thank you, Sean. Thanks, as always, for having me.
All right, and we'll be back right after this.